For our Old Testament scripture reading this morning, I would invite you to turn, please, to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. I'm going to read the whole chapter. Isaiah chapter 6. And if you're using the Pew Bible, you'll find that on page 689. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, let us give attention to the word of God. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitants, and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste. And the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump." Amen. Thus far, the word of God. May he be pleased to write its truth upon each of our hearts this morning. Please open your Bibles now to the New Testament and to the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. You'll find that on page 986 in the Pew Bible. And we shall read the first 23 verses. Matthew chapter 13. Beginning to read at verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, And the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them.' But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. And as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Amen. Thus far, the reading of God's own inspired word. May he bless both the reading and the hearing of it to our hearts this morning. When was the last time you had your hearing checked? Boys and girls, I don't know if you have your hearing checked from time to time. I know when I was a wee boy back in Ballyclare, the school nurse would call us to the school nurse's office every year, and we'd have to put on these headphones, and we were told to raise our thumbs, give a thumbs up, when we heard a little beep. And some of the beeps were very loud, and some of the beeps were so tiny, you could hardly hear them. And I used to go and line up, and some of the beeps I found very difficult to hear. But I learned after a while that the time to put my thumbs up was when I saw a little red light reflected in the glasses of the school nurse behind her little machine. And of course that was cheating a wee bit, but I always did well in my hearing tests because of that. Well, friends, the Lord Jesus this morning wants to give you a hearing test. He doesn't sit behind a little machine to perform the test. He tells a simple story. It's a story about a farmer planting his field. And when he's done with the story, he asks in verse 9, he says, "He who has ears." You all have ears. "He who has ears, let him hear." And what we have here, of course, is the first of Jesus' parables. And this morning, I want, with God's help, to begin a brief series of studies on a selection of the parables of Jesus. A group of parables that are commonly called the parables of the kingdom. And parables, as we're about to see, all have to do with hearing. Hearing the word about Christ's kingdom. And Christ's kingdom simply means that the kingly rule or the kingly government of God has come to earth in the person of King Jesus. Now, someone has estimated that perhaps as much as one third of the recorded teaching of Jesus consists of parables or parabolic statements. But up to this point, in Matthew's Gospel at least, Jesus' teaching has been much more theoretical or doctrinal. How have his hearers responded to his teaching so far? Well, Matthew tells us that the people have generally been pretty indifferent to what Jesus has said. He tells us that the religious leaders have been defiant, and only the disciples have sincerely followed him. And so now Jesus begins to use this different teaching method, but not because there had been something inadequate about his teaching method up to this point, and not so that his hearers will hear better. Rather, these parables of Jesus, which speak so memorably to us and so clearly about the kingdom, are going to provoke his hearers to shut their ears even more and to harden their hearts even further. So if you and I are going to profit from the word, if we're going to benefit from our Bibles, we need to heed the message of the parables. We need our spiritual ears checked. We need a checkup. And this parable of the sower is where we must begin. So there are three things I'd like us to consider this morning, each stressing a different aspect of this subject. First, we want to consider how to hear the word with profit. Secondly, we'll think about how to hear the word with profit, with emphasis on the word. And thirdly, we'll think about how to hear the word with profit. So it's the same point three times, but we're going to emphasize a different aspect. First, how to hear the word with profit. Secondly, how to hear the word with profit, what we're to hear. And thirdly, how to hear the word with profit, how we're to hear exactly. So first of all, then, with the stress on hear, how do we hear the word with profit? Jesus asks, do you have ears? He who has ears, let him hear. That's a very common phrase in the Gospels. I'm sure you know that. But what does Jesus consider to be a true hearing of his word? Notice he explains this before he explains the parable. So we're going to follow his lead this morning. In this passage we've read, the verb to hear appears 16 times in 14 verses, verses 9 to 23. That's clearly the central thrust of the parable. So for instance, verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom. Verse 20, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Verse 22, the one who hears the word. Verse 23, the one who hears the word and understands it. Why is hearing so important to Jesus? And why should it be so important to you and me? Well, the answer is you cannot believe on Christ without first hearing his word. Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we all need a hearing test. There is nothing more important in life than that your spiritual hearing is regularly tested. So what sort of hearing is in view? Well, the organ of the ear is mentioned four times in verses 9 to 16, but actually, neither the physical organ nor the faculty of hearing is primarily in view, is it? So, for instance, in verse 14, indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they've closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and then I would heal them. And so hearing with the ear really means understanding with the heart and turning. Your heart is the ear of your soul, and true hearing is accompanied by understanding, expressed by a personal trust and commitment to Jesus Christ. So in the parable, a spiritual hearing is accompanied by this understanding. And in other words, you're not merely to simply come to church and hear the Bible read, hear the Bible preached. You're not simply to have your quiet time and read the words on the page. It's very clear in verse 11. He says, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. And verse 13, this is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Jesus tells us here that to some it has been given to hear and others not. They have physical ears. They can hear sermons just fine. They can read their Bible just fine. But sadly, they have not yet that faculty of spiritual hearing. Instead, they have hardened hearts. The spiritual hearing that Jesus is talking about to us here means believing in the heart the message of the Word of God unto salvation and being built up continually by that Word for our sanctification. And the ear, Jesus says, is the root to the heart. He who has ears, let him hear. The true hearer hears with understanding and bears fruit. And that's why Jesus speaks in parables. There's really two reasons. For one thing, it is to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom to his people who do have ears to hear. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear, he says in verse 16. But there's another reason he speaks in parables. And it is to confirm the stubborn unbelief of those who will not hear. That's a hard teaching. That's a hard teaching. The parables both reveal and conceal by design. They are not simply earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. And of course, there's truth in that statement. But they are profound doctrinal theses that confound those who are enemies of Christ. In the context, Jesus has been preaching plainly. He's been healing the sick. But the Jews' hearts are hardened and unmoved. They're demanding signs, just like back in Isaiah's day. That's why he, of course, quotes Isaiah here. Jesus' plain teaching in the parables only hardens them further, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. The Puritan Matthew Poole comments, "This undoubtedly God does to this day. When a people have sat a long time under a good and profitable ministry, wherein their souls have been dealt with plainly and faithfully, and they remain still ignorant, debauched, and unbelieving, then God, in a righteous judgment, gives them over to the blindness of mind and hardness of heart under the ministry, that even though it continue amongst them, yet they are not affected with the word, but sleep and harden under it." That's a terrifying thought. You can hear the word, and it just goes in one ear and out the other. How's your hearing this morning? The thought that the awakening word might put you to sleep instead, that the word that liberates from judgment should add to your judgment instead. Jesus preaches to you and to me. The word is preached far more expansively today than it was in Jesus' day. And you hear the word in many different venues. You hear it preached weekly. You open the word in your families. You study it in your devotions. You download it on your iPhone. Maybe many of you have committed chunks of it to memory. And of course, this is all good. You should do that. You should urge your children to do these things as well. But I wonder, are any of us truly like Jesus' hearers here? There's a warning not to take his means of grace for granted. The word of God is a gracious gift. But if you despise the word, he is able to take it from you, even though you may be surrounded by it. Remember the Ancient Mariner? I think it was fourth year English, reading the Ancient Mariner. It seemed to go on and on forever. But the line I always remember in the Ancient Mariner, when he's thirsting, and he, water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. And we can be like that. We may have lots of different Bibles on our shelves, and we may know the Bible, but are we actually being put to sleep? Are we truly listening to the Word of God? So then, the parables are memorable tales, but there's a sting in the tale, if I can put it that way. You may hear the Word, but do you hear it to your profit? Or do you hear it to your eternal loss? Well, the question should next be, how can you tell if your heart has grown hard under God's word? If your ears are becoming blocked with the wax of unbelief. Sorry if that's a gross metaphor. But are your ears being stopped? What's preventing you perhaps this morning from hearing the word? Well, you need to submit to Jesus' hearing test. So with all of that in mind, we move on to the parable itself. How to hear the word with profit. Now, how to hear the word with profit. What is it that we are to hear? It is the word. The parable tells us the sower sowed the seed. The seed, the substance of what is heard is all important. Not merely that you have a capacity to hear. Jesus says, "Behold, a sower went out to sow." Very common agricultural scene in Palestine. No seed drills in those days. No modern farming equipment. They would just scatter the seeds on the fields. And the fields were generally separated by paths where the soil was beaten down by the passers-by. Consider first the seed. The seed. What is it that's being sown in the parable? Luke's account of the parable, Luke 8:11. "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God." Or Mark 4:14, "The sower sows the word." And here in verse 19, "the word of the kingdom." Not merely evangelistic preaching is in view here, but the whole counsel of God, in fact, the word of God in its entirety. We'll come back to that in a moment. It is the seed of the word that saves. 1 Peter 1:23, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." And it is the seed of the word also that sanctifies us. John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Or 1 Corinthians 3:6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So this is the fruit, this is the crop, this is the harvest that Jesus seeks from your hearing his word week in, week out. He wants to see in you a life redeemed and a life transformed in holiness. Now, getting the seed right is important if you want to reap the right crop. My wife sends me to the garden center, which is an admittedly dangerous errand, but if she sends me to the garden center to buy tomato seeds, and she discovers after some months that her tomato plants are actually producing chilies, she knows something is obviously quite wrong. I can insist to June, I know I went and I bought the right seeds. The evidence clearly proves that I'm wrong. Okay, the fruit provides irrefutable proof of my error. I suppose the tomatoes could also be very small and very sick as well. But the point I'm making is that only good seed can produce good fruit. Only God's word is a means of grace. And that's why preachers must be heralds of the word and nothing more. They mustn't preach the seeds of church tradition. They mustn't preach the seeds of baptized Freudian psychology. These seeds will grow a crop. There's no doubt about it. They will grow a crop. But what kind of a crop will they produce? Too many preachers run excitedly to the garden center of the Christian bookshop that peddles all sorts of seeds that promise great fruit. And what kind of a crop has it produced in the churches of the land? A biblically illiterate generation. Congregations of confused disciples. They're not sure what they believe or why they believe it. The sprouting of false doctrines. Split churches. What you sow is crucial. Jesus says, by their fruit you will know them. So the seed is the word of God. But what about the sower? Who is it that's sowing? Well, obviously, Jesus himself is the sower. In the context, Jesus is explaining the mixed response to his Galilean ministry. He is the Son of Man, yet many are only hearing him with the ear, not the understanding of the heart by faith. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. This was the Messiah's commission. And so, by extension, preachers, ministers of the gospel are sowers. Jesus, the sower, commissions sowers. Matthew 10:6, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But friends, also in a sense, all of us here today who are Christians are called to be sowers of the word. Maybe not formally, because we're not all ordained officers, but informally, as you use God's ordained means of grace, means to save, with your unbelieving acquaintances. Paul says in Philippians 2 that you are children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Do you do that? Do you hold out the word of life to your unbelieving family members and friends and co-workers and neighbors? Are you actively sowing the seed? Or are you simply storing it up for yourself? We have barns full to overflowing with seed in a day of famine. And the world is starving. But we have this feast. Think for a moment of the fruit that could be born. We know that certain soils will bear no fruit, but no soil will bear any fruit if the seed doesn't even come in contact with it. So are we doing that? Are we scattering the seed? It's not your job to judge the receptivity of the soil. It's your job to sow. It's not even your job to give the growth. So neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. And friends, that's liberating, isn't it? It's liberating with evangelism. Maybe you're nervous to share your faith. You don't know if you can find the words. Maybe there's somebody you know this week you need to talk to. And you just don't know when the moment comes, are you going to have the courage? What if they laugh at me? Sure, they probably won't listen to me anyway. Friends, throwing handfuls of seed on the ground isn't rocket science. It's a straightforward thing. The farmer doesn't have to make the rain. He doesn't have to create the nutrients in the soil. He doesn't have to make the sunshine. That's God's job. Your task is sowing. We're praying just now for thinking of go teams. It was mentioned go teams are going out this summer, sowing the seed. Some of you may be going on those teams. It's a simple task. It is a challenging task. It is, of course, it challenges. It takes us out of our comfort zone. But what encouragements we have from this parable. That's the sower. And then the sowing itself. How does the sower sow? How had Jesus conveyed his message? A summary of Jesus' Galilean ministry is found in Matthew 4:23. We read, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness among the people. It was primarily a preaching, teaching ministry. It was, of course, uniquely validated by the miracles that God gave to him. But it's the same primary means today. The manner, notice, in which he sows is indiscriminate. He doesn't say, well, I'm not going to sow any there. That doesn't look very promising. He scatters the seed indiscriminately. He scatters it broadly. And differing results depend not on the differing quality of the seed, but the differing quality of the ground. In other words, one message preached broadly produces different results in different hearers. And this, you see, is the genius of preaching. Preaching's genius as a method of scattering the gospel seeds. Instead of the pastor, imagine your pastor to feed you every week, you have to make an appointment and get in line. And he spoon-fed you a personal message. This one's for you. This is what Jesus wants for you this week. It would take forever. But instead, what happens with preaching, it's not a private date. It's a public feast. What happens with the sheep in the fields? I mean, the farmer doesn't go out to this massive flock and call them in one at a time and give them each their personal portion. No, he feeds them all at once. Jesus feeds his sheep in one sitting on the Sabbath day by preaching. The Good Shepherd feeds us all, yes, in individual ways, but he does it through one feeding of the Word. I'm sure if you listen to any sermon and you walk out the door and you compare your notes, the Lord will have spoken to you in very personal ways. Something will have stood out to you that didn't stand out to somebody else. What's going on there? The seed is being scattered. It's producing different fruit. The Lord knows how best to serve us in this way. And so it's not, of course, that small groups or one-on-one studies aren't important. But the imagery in this parable is of that indiscriminate preaching of the word to all, which results in a very discriminate application according to the hearts of the individual hearers. That's why it is so important to be at church. If I were to ask you, boys and girls, if I were to ask you, why do you go to the dinner table twice a day? Well, it's a silly question. Well, because I need to eat, right? Because I'm hungry, right? If I were to say to you, why do you go to church twice on Sunday? It's the same answer. You need to eat. Jesus wants to feed you. He wants to feed you by his holy word. And if you don't eat, something is not right. If you don't have an appetite, something is not right. Or at the very least, you will become very, very hungry. So that's how to hear the word with profit. And then next we come to the third point. How to hear the word with profit. With profit. To review, we've seen that a certain kind of hearing is necessary. A certain kind of seed is also necessary. But now a certain kind of response is necessary, namely a profitable, fruitful hearing of the word, a hearing with understanding, a hearing in the heart that results in salvation and sanctification. So it's time now for the hearing test, okay, where Jesus comes to apply the parable to us, and we get to the heart of what he's saying. Now, Jesus actually calls this parable the parable of the sower in verse 18, but the emphasis is, in a sense, on the soils. There are three bad soils and one good soil with different degrees of fruit. Now, it's tempting to approach a parable like this, a very well-known parable. We can come to it and say, well, it's quite simple, isn't it? The bad soil means an unbeliever, and the good soil means a believer. The good soil is me, right? That's kind of how we might come to this parable. But actually, all of the different soil types can apply to the Christian. Christians already saved by the word often display the characteristics of the bad soil too. In other words, they fail to be sanctified by the word. The word, we're just not growing. We're going through maybe a stale time in our Christian life. And the challenge that we are faced with here is, do we each hear the word with profit? Where is the fruit of it in your life? It doesn't mean that grace is automatic. You need the Spirit to make the word effectual. It's not just for salvation. The word is for sanctification as Christians as well. And so the purpose of the parable is to show how the word is heard and received into the heart by different hearers, either profitably or otherwise. So let's run through the four soils briefly and the four hearers and ask, which of these soils describes you? Is it soil number one, which we might call an ignorant hearing? Verse 4, Jesus says, as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. And then verse 19, he explains it. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in the heart. This is what was sown along the path. So here you have seeds that are snatched away by the birds before they've even had a chance to grow. The birds see a target of opportunity. They're waiting. They're waiting in anticipation of the sower. They await the seeds, like the crows or the gulls you see swirling behind the tractor, right? They're waiting for the worms to be exposed, and they dive on them and they gobble them up. This hearer hears the word with his ears, but he or she lacks a true heart understanding. They are careless. They are thoughtless. They are unconcerned about the message. Their heart is hard like the path. And there are many such hearers in churches all across the province this morning. They are being shadowed. The evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. You realize that Satan wants to snatch the word from you at every possible turn. Boys and girls, a few years ago when our family went to Cornwall on holiday, we were in the little seaside village of St. Ives. Some of you have probably been to St. Ives before. And there were signs everywhere along the promenade, and it said, beware of the seagulls. I mean, we thought that was kind of funny. I mean, beware of the dog, maybe, okay. Beware of the seagulls. And then we ordered some fish and chips, and we understood why. Because as soon as those seagulls saw the tourists walking along the promenade with their fish and chips, they would dive down and they would snatch it out of your hands and attack you and take it away. And that's like the picture that Jesus gives in the parable, isn't it? He says there are these birds and they are watching. And they are hungry. And they want the seed. And you have got to clutch it close or it will be snatched away. Like your fish and chips in St. Ives, you've got to hold them close. Or you're not going to have fish and chips that night. Okay? That's the picture that we have in the parable. Think about this. Satan and his devils. They're here this morning. The seed is being sown. And they want to snatch it away. They're here every week. They want to devour the word before it roots in the heart. And they have an arsenal of different distractions. And they're really good ones. Really good ones. Listen to what the Puritan Richard Steele writes. Steele wrote a book called A Remedy for Wandering Thoughts in the Worship of God. It's a great title. It tells you what the book's about. But listen to what he says. He says, Satan is in every pew, at every elbow, throwing in his fireballs and enticing poor souls to commit folly with him. Never did the crafty cheat watch and spy how to defraud the shopper while he is receiving his cash, as Satan lies in wait in the worship of God to steal from you that true treasure that would make your soul rich. Especially that prayer or chapter or sermon that would do you the most good or most destroy his kingdom, that he will be most busy at. He knows what's on your mind as you come in here today. He knows what from this morning's sermon you need to hear. And he knows exactly what's on my manuscript. And he knows exactly when to distract you. He's very clever. The birds are clever. They snatch away the seed. And it's not just the hour of worship. How many churchgoers go home from church and they crank up the radio in the car? Or they put on a football game? Or they pore over social media? They just flip, 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 flip. And what's happening? The seeds are getting snatched away before they even have a chance to put down any roots. The seeds are devoured. There's no germination. Do we have an ignorant hearing of the word? You maybe haven't ever truly listened to the gospel. There could be someone here this morning, you're not a Christian. You need to ask God to soften the hard path of your heart that his seed may take root and bear fruit. Or maybe you're a Christian and maybe you've grown lazy under the preaching of the word. You need to ask yourself, does it go in one ear and out the other? You need to rein in your wandering thoughts. Give full attention to the words. Like that hearing test. The hearing test of your childhood. Perhaps some frequencies are really hard to detect. You need to listen carefully. But most are clear as a bell if you'll only listen. That's soil one. Soil number two is a shallow hearing. Verses 5 and 6, Jesus says, other seeds fell on rocky ground. They didn't have much soil. They sprung up immediately. They had no depths of soil. And what happens? The sun rose and they were scorched. They had no root and they withered away. And the explanation is in verse 20. This is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself. He endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. This rocky soil, of course, is talking of a thin layer of soil above the rocks. There's no roots, there's no moisture to withstand the scorching sun. It seems promising. How many people in Northern Ireland today have made a hasty decision for Christ? They've added their names to the evangelist success chart. Our census poll, another statistic. They received the word with joy. They signed a decision card. Where are they today? Where's the joy gone? They prove in the end to be unchanged. Scorched by fiery trials, they show their true colors. And once again, the fruit is the proof of a true hearing of the word. But the same is true of us, I think, as Christians, is it not? We can sometimes come to church and we can hear the word with a certain joy that's merely aesthetic. Do you remember what God said to the prophet Ezekiel? Ezekiel 33:32, God says about his congregation, indeed, you are to them like a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on his instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. There's lots of people in churches this morning and they love a good sermon. They enjoy the style or the illustrations maybe. Maybe they make some resolutions to apply it, but when the going gets tough, the true depth of the word is shown. Do you have a shallow hearing? Do you sit in the pew? Do you hear the word but fail to let it take root? We need to cry to God to remove the stones from our heart. Then you have the distracted hearing. The third soil, verse 22, as for the one that was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Unfruitful. Here's the problem. Other seeds are occupying the soil of the soul already. The problem is not an absence of seeds. The problem is the presence of rival seeds. That's the problem. Gardeners here know all about seeds, about weeds rather. Thorns and weeds grow naturally in the fallen heart as well as in the fallen earth. And unless you're intentional to keep rooting them out, they will just keep coming back. These thorns, Jesus says, are the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, two great enemies of hearing the word, a heart distracted with worry and a heart distracted by stuff, worry and worldliness. And you know how weeds can choke. They steal the nutrients. They steal the sunlight that would nourish the young plant. And the means of growth are drained away by the thorns. So your hearing in the same way, your hearing of the word is hindered so that you cannot grow. And here's how it works. You come into church and you sit in the pew. Maybe you're even taking notes that you do week by week, but your mind is somewhere else. Maybe it's on yesterday's football match, or it's work tomorrow, it's your economic problems, somebody in the pew in front. You may have very legitimate concerns, but when God speaks to you, you need to block out all other voices but His. And when you think of it, at that very moment, He may be addressing your very worry and concern. What was that? I didn't hear you. He was speaking to the very thing that your mind's on. Let us reel in our thoughts and let us heed the word. They may be legitimate concerns, but perhaps he wants to address those concerns, but you're not listening. You all know what the easiest job in the world is. It's a weed cultivator. Right? No problem. Just sit there and they'll grow. Okay? It's easy to cultivate weeds. In fact, you don't have to work at it at all. But cultivating a garden of fruit trees is a different proposition completely. How is your hearing? And then finally, you have, of course, the profitable hearing. Hearing with the understanding. Verse 23, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. And here then, of course, is the true spiritual hearing. Believing in the heart the message of the word of God unto salvation, and being built up by that word in sanctification. What is it that makes this soil so good? What is it that makes this hearer able to bear? Jesus says, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. When it comes to the hearing of the word for salvation, or sanctification for that matter, any fruit you bear from a true hearing of the word is the fruit of grace. Whoever sows the seed into your life, Paul or Apollos or Robert McCollum, whoever it is that's preaching to you, God is the one who gives the growth. Doesn't mean to say that you are idle in the process. God, who gives the growth in grace, has provided the means of grace. And He who sovereignly determined the ends has also sovereignly determined the means to those ends. And so some believers will inevitably be more fruitful hearers than others. And so you should strive to be as fruitful as possible using God's means of grace. Jesus says in John 15:8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Are you bearing fruit in your Christian life this morning? The average estimated yield in Palestinian agriculture at the time was a 7 to 10-fold increase on what was sown. Jesus here is speaking of explosive growth. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30, but whatever the measure of increase, true Christian growth fueled by the Spirit of God is out of all proportion to that which was sown. So friends, if you are not proving fruitful, could it be that your soil is bad? Could it be that your heart is hard or shallow or filled with thorns? If you want to be a profitable hearer of the word, then pray that God will remove all the impediments to the word that are taking root in your heart this morning. Will you prepare your heart for worship by entering the house of God in a spiritual frame of mind, ready to humbly receive the implanted word? And will you enter this place expecting to receive a word from heaven? How to hear the word with profit. This is Jesus' hearing test. So how did you do? How did you do? What kind of a hearer are you? May God give us grace, each one, to hear him say, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear." Amen. Let us again bow our hearts in prayer. Please stand as you're able. O Lord our God, we thank you that you are pleased to continually sow your seed among us. And we would ask, O Lord, that in our day, when we see your judgments abroad in the land, that you would not inflict upon us a famine of the word. Lord, we pray that you would not allow each one of us to impose upon ourselves a famine of the word. That though we are surrounded by it in our homes, and though we are blessed with it in the pulpit week by week, that we may find our hearts to grow dull of hearing. We ask, Lord God, that you would apply this word to each one of us at the point of our need. We ask, O Lord, that we would not allow the thorns that are currently in the soil of our hearts to choke this word, but we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would uproot those thorns, and that you would be pleased, O Lord, to open our ears to hear, that we might not be hearers of the word only, but that we would be doers of it as well. Lord, we ask and pray that you would make us mighty in the word. We ask that you would make us sowers of the word this week as well. Help us, we pray, O Lord God, to see your word as a living word in our lives. And though our hearts may so often feel dead, we ask that you would revive us once more, and that we would receive the word humbly implanted in our hearts. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.